Hello everybody, my name is Anne Teato and welcome to the Psychic Matters podcast, episode number 7. This week we are exploring the spirit world and all it may hold for us. If you have always wanted to know about the spirit realm or what we do when we get there, this is the podcast for you. Psychic medium Chris Lippincott is on the show to describe the beauty of the spirit realm and to help you understand how you too can make your own connections to loved ones who have crossed the Great Divide. Based in New Jersey, USA, Chris explains the many different ways in which spirit people can communicate with us on the earth plane. You will learn about the work of spirit authors, automatic writing, remote viewing, and what the difference is between a guide and a higher guide, as Chris discusses the importance of exploring afterlife phenomenon and the science behind it. So, if you are ready, let's begin. Welcome everybody to Psychic Matters, and I am here this afternoon with a fantastic psychic medium all the way from America, Chris Lippincott. Welcome to Psychic Matters.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Chris. So why don't we start by you, let me hand over to you and tell the listeners who you are and what you do and the type of work that you're currently doing and that you're interested in, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure. I am a psychic medium, and what I love to do is really help clients connect with their spirit loved ones and really offer them healing and comfort. Quite often people are searching for just any kind of connection with their loved ones who are no longer in the physical, or they're just searching for answers to what's happening to their loved ones in the physical, in the spirit. And what I love to do is help them heal, help them get over, perhaps whether it's grief, or any kind of loss, or if they're just searching for answers, or if they're searching for a better understanding for the spirit world or whatever. And I really love to help them connect. And it's just the most wonderful experience when you see spirit loved ones help the clients transform. It's really a transformative love, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it certainly is, Chris. And tell us, how did you come to do this kind of work? Give us a little bit about your background.
Sure. When I was very young, I was aware of spirit, but of course, I didn't really know what spirit was at the time. As a child, I was thinking it was the typical Hollywood monster, the Hollywood ghost story. So when I was young, even though I was in a connection with spirit, I thought it was, you know, going to attack me or something. So as a child, even though I was connecting and speaking with spirit, I eventually suppressed it for probably about 3 decades. Because I was too scared of it. Come full circle as an adult, I started to learn greater meditation. And during meditation practicing, I became more aware of sort of the energy around us, and spirit started to leave breadcrumbs that I would follow. And of course, I had an incredible appetite for all things metaphysical and spiritual. I had this insatiable curiosity, so I was reading a lot. And I'd say about perhaps 5 years ago, I had this incredible experience, incredible spiritual experience, an awakening, where I was deep in a meditation, this incredible experience of spirits coming to me, and it just really opened up the portal. And the next thing I knew, I was communicating with my deceased relatives. I was communicating with so many other people. I felt the energy around me, and it's just like somebody turned on the light switch, and I'm like back in contact with spirit, not because I allowed myself to be open again after shutting the portal for so many decades. And here we are today.
Well, I think that's absolutely fascinating, because what you talk about when you were young and you were scared of it, and now, of course, you're a fully qualified professional working medium. But how do people make that leap from finding something so alarming, I suppose, when it first comes into your life, to accepting it fully and working with the energies that we work with? Tell us a little bit about why you felt you had to suppress it, because I'm interested in this, the fact that we don't have, or certainly didn't perhaps 3 decades ago, have enough tuition or knowledge about it. There's a lot more available now because of the internet, but how did you make that change?
That's a great question. I guess when I think back when I was young, I guess a couple examples might be in order. When I was young, I would feel spirit hands on my back when I went to sleep, which as a child, it absolutely freaked me out. I thought there was a monster coming to take me away, put me in their lair, and I'd be gone forever.
Sure.
Or, you know, the classic monster under the bed syndrome. Every child's afraid of it. And, you know, at that time I was hearing voices in my room. And I would, you know, it was like a disembodied voice and I didn't know what was there. That's the part that really kind of, you know, shook me to my boots. I pulled the cover over my head and just ask it to go away, praying for it to go away. But I think what really happened, as I look back on it, was the fact that it's really, I think I would give all the credit to spirit, because it took me about 20 years of reading, and I would call it an evolution, not a revolution, because there was, as I mentioned, there was this insatiable curiosity. So I hadn't fully suppressed it. It was this insatiable curiosity to know, to keep reading, to keep understanding. And there was a sort of an underlying, underlying river that was constantly flowing, this desire to know more, this almost like this magnetic attraction that kept pulling me back to know more. So I kept on reading and reading and reading and reading. So 20 years, I felt I became like an expert. I would read everything, whether it was, from NDEs to, what was spirit, where did we come from, prior life research, afterlife research, to automatic writing. I towards the latter stages, I really became intrigued with automatic writing and what spirit authors had to say, because that was so intriguing. It was it was almost like an open door, like spirit saying, "This is what the spirit world is really like, and we're here to tell you about it." I'm like, "My God, this is amazing." And so I really began to learn about it. And that's really, I think, what opened the door and enabled me to accept that there's something larger out there. Because before, I went from a skeptical materialist to a spiritual believer. And it became quite a differential. From opposite spectrums, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I really want to talk to you about the spirit authors and the automatic writing, but I just want to go back again to your childhood. And I want to ask you, how was that accepted? Did you speak about that with your parents, the experiences that you were having as a young child?
Oh, that's a great question. No, I was too scared. And I guess when I was a child, what was so interesting, because I was an only child, and my parents were not religious. They were not spiritual. They were very, I don't know if you'd call it conservative. They were probably agnostic materialists. That's probably a good way to term it. Agnostic right. materialists, where they just didn't really believe, they didn't really think that there was anything specific that there were, because they needed tangible proof. And that kind of philosophy was something that I picked up. So I thought to myself, well, I have it. I've got to pick it up. I need proof. So the concepts of like God and Jesus, to me, were all these, I thought they were kind of like the classic man in the sky, woo-woo. I couldn't believe it. I said, I need proof. And I thought to myself, literally, how could all these people believe in something they can't see and touch, and there's no evidence for it? So that was the mindset I went in. And I held that for so long, and my parents, were thinking that same way. And that was the whole, frame of reference that I worked with. So that's why when spirit was trying to come to me as a child, it made no sense to me. Even though I was still talking to spirit during the daytime, I would, have these conversations with quote unquote make-believe friends. All children seem to have this conversation with their imaginary friends or imaginary playmates. Well, I would have these imaginary conversations not only with imaginary playdates and imaginary friends, but I'd be speaking to the trees. I'd be speaking to animals. And I should have noticed something was a little bit off when I could have a full conversation back and forth. But it never really occurred to me.
Yeah. It's interesting. I ask you that also because I know that before we started officially recording this interview, you told me that you have a son of 18. And I just wondered if you have been aware, as he was growing up, in the same sort of age group as you were, of any experiences he might have had. I'm sure that you were very supportive of him.
He's very much, he's growing up very much the same way I did when I was young. In fact, I would say he's probably more skeptical than I was when he was growing up, because he's very materialistic. He's very scientifically oriented. He's very, you have to prove it. And so as I interact with him right now, and he's in his late teens and he's very scientifically oriented, his belief and my belief are spectrums are opposites. So he has an extreme difficulty understanding what I do.
Yeah, sure. And I think it's really important to be very skeptical and look for the proof and try and look at the science. I think that's a really important thing to do, and not just accept things at face value. For me, how I've come to have my own proof and 100% knowing is through experiences, as I'm sure it's been the same for you. Let me ask you, is that the same for you? Do you look at the science?
Yeah. I think that's a great point. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why, for me, it became so poignant, because I came from the perspective of an agnostic skeptic. I just couldn't believe. So that as I started having all of these experiences, I had to have an explanation for it. And that may have been one of the reasons why the 20 plus years of afterlife research and afterlife reading and knowledge, I came from it from a perspective of knowledge. I came from where I am today from a perspective of understanding of scientific research. And that's one of the great things I loved, was that a lot of my research was actually academic research, where I would read academic papers and studies from universities of what the like I think it's University of Virginia, UVA parapsychology, and Duke University parapsychology departments. They've got these vast libraries that study NDEs. They study afterlife phenomenon. They and the science behind it, and you know, what is energy, and how can spirit really be here, and what is the definition of spirit and energetic vibrations, et cetera. And all that just makes so much sense. And that's why it helps me come to this from a not just a belief, but an understanding of what it really is and how it's possible for it to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's really fascinating, Chris. And so for you, when you're working as a psychic medium and your clients come to you, everybody's mediumship seems to work in a slightly different way. How does yours work? How do you make that connection with spirit? How do you know that they're there? How do you then give the information to your client? How does it work for you?
For me, what I've noticed, and this has been true with all of my experiences, is that when spirit comes to me, I feel this incredible warm vibration of spirit. It feels like a warm tingling. And I noticed this early on after my experiences, after my awakening. It feels like a warm tingling, warm effervescent champagne-like bubbles on my upper arms. It feels like somebody is putting their hands on either side of my upper arms, and it's an acknowledgement that they're present and I can feel their energy. Sometimes the energy, in fact, I feel it right now. Sometimes I feel the energy just on my upper shoulders, just my upper arms. Sometimes I'll feel it all throughout my chest. When I feel some of my higher guides come through, it feels like I've got tingling all throughout my entire body, almost as if I had put my finger in a socket and I'm just, you know, tingling and shaking. excuse me. And that was one of my experiences that I can remember even having as a child. I can remember as a child trying to go from point A to point B. I think I was trying to run through our living room as a child. I remember being surrounded by this incredible energetic bubble, which at the time I had no understanding what it was. I just remember it, and it just absolutely scared the daylights out of me. I just remember being surrounded by this incredible effervescent tingling. And when I had my awakening, I remember that distinct feeling and thinking, oh my God, that's the same feeling. And it's like I began to compare. And after that continued feeling, I was like, oh, okay, that's spirit. And it was a constant. And so as I do my readings today, I know that spirit is with me, and it allows me to know that they're there. So when I'm with clients, I'll let them know. I'll say, okay, I feel spirit. They're with me right now. In fact, I did a reading yesterday where I can remember telling the client, okay, I've got spirit here. They're with me right now. They're drawing closer. And the closer they get, and I invite them to overshadow me and to allow them to get close to me. And as they overshadow me, they then become really part of me. And they'll overshadow me. They'll make me move my arms, my hands, my facial expressions, my verbal intonations, certain sayings. And so as that happens, what winds up happening is that I'll begin to say things that have a certain resonance with the clients, certain phrases, certain intonations, certain sounds, and the client, it really paints spirit back to life, because they're all of a sudden they're with me, they're energetically, they're alive again, almost in the physical through my body. And it's a wonderful experience for both the client and me, because we're sharing spirit. They're back again.
Gosh, it's just beautiful listening to you describe it and how it works for you. When I sense spirit around me, if I'm sitting with a client, you get this lovely tingling and effervescence and bubbles, and you really start to sense the energy coming forward. So what happens with me is, just as a contrast for people listening might find it interesting, I can be just going about my normal business, blah, 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 and then I sit down with my client. And then when you start to focus on the spirit world, for me, I start to just become aware of people drawing close. And you know, if someone stands behind you and you know they're there, but you can't see them, it's that sort of feeling. You just sense that they've come close. And then as I either close my eyes or stare into a point in the distance, I will become aware of spirit. I will become aware of their shapes, like I can see them out of the corner of my eye, and I can start to tell whether they're a male or a female, and I can tell how tall they are or what they're wearing and things like that. So then as they start to come closer, and you mentioned blending with them, and you mentioned them coming and putting their shadow over yours, as I make that blend too, then you get more detail, don't you? So
right.
it's interesting how it works slightly differently for different people.
Yeah, and I would also add a large two of my primary modalities are clairvoyance and clairsentience, and I can really see what they look like, and I can see you know, what they're like, and I can feel their personality. It really starts with clairvoyance, where I can see what they look like, where they are, and quite often they give me remote viewing of where they have been, where they were, where they are. So they'll quite often allow me a remote viewing of, say, their living room. And they'll just, it's like a 360 degree camera, and I'm in their living room, and I will, see everything in their living room, and I'll be able to describe in intricate detail everything, about the living room. And it's like painting, this beautiful watercolor, or oil painting for the client, and they're like, "Yes, that's the person's living room," and it's an amazing experience.
Yeah, I find that the way they work with us in such a multidimensional way, that's happened for me as well. Sometimes when I've been with clients, I remember one specific lady I was reading for, and I said, this gentleman was in hospital, the gentleman in the spirit world, he was in hospital. Oh, well, I'll believe you if you can tell me where he was in the hospital. So again, the spirit gentleman took me on this three-dimensional viewing, like the 360 camera you were talking about. And so I followed him through the hospital into the x-ray department, told her what he was having x-rayed, et cetera, et cetera. And she couldn't believe it. And it was, I mean, I could believe it, of course, because I'm psychic medium as you are, but it is fascinating when things like that happen.
Oh, it's beautiful. I can remember having a client whose younger brother, who had a tremendous connection. I commend the younger brother in spirit, and the primary way that he used to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was with us was that he suddenly brought me to this emergency room scenario where I suddenly was at the foot of a stretcher. And I remember, I was one of many people who was pushing his stretcher down a white, emergency room hallway. And I could see the patient, the man in spirit, on the gurney, and we were all pushing the gurney down the hallway, and just we would go through the swinging double doors, and it, the the desperation of trying to save this man was palpable. And so I described everything that I was seeing, everything that I was doing. And it was an entire scenario that was the linchpin that proved beyond a shadow of a doubt for this client that, in fact, that was her brother. And she just burst into tears with knowledge that he was with us. And it was so tangible at that point.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. That's a great example as well, and a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing it. So just going back one more time, you spoke about having an awakening, which sounds mysterious. So can you make it less mysterious and tell us what that was, how you awoke?
Sure. I keep referring to that as the door that opened. It was like a portal. I'll describe it. When I was in a meditation, I guess I was in my typical man cave one weekend. You know, all guys have to have a man cave, right?
Right.
So I'm deep in my meditation and listening to some beautiful, calming music. And I don't know, maybe I was in meditation for perhaps about 20, 30 minutes. And the next thing I know, I, suddenly see, it's like my eyes are closed, but I see this image painted before me of what looked like a sort of like a dark gray cloud picture. And I saw four spirit people standing before me. And I clearly remember to this day, two of the spirit people, and they were basically painted in what appeared to be almost silhouette form. But the two spirit people on the left were shorter, the two spirit people on the right were taller, and I could feel the energy for the two spirit people on the right were much stronger. And I was dumbfounded as to what was going on, but I do remember that the tallest spirit person sent this incredible beam of energy that went right through my chest and out my back. It was so tangible that I felt it. I thought to myself, well, I can't be asleep. I can't be having a dream. How could I feel this so tangibly? And it was this incredible energetic beam of unconditional love. I just felt this incredible essence of love overpower me, that nothing that I could possibly do would remove any possible love. It was almost as if I was perfect, and I couldn't accept that. I was human. I'm like, how could I be perfect? And it was just this constant overpowering feeling that was washing over me of perfect love, that everything I did was perfect. Everything I did was there could be no wrong. And I felt that everywhere was love, and that I was part of love, and that it was this fabric everywhere. Everywhere I looked, everywhere I felt, it was the entire universe was love. And somehow I was part of it. And as I look back on it, many of the feelings I had at the time were very similar to experiences that have been written about with NDEs, where people who have near-death experiences will discuss the fact that they feel overwhelmed and enraptured with this all-encompassing, unconditional love. And they feel that they are one with the universe, and that everything is one, that we are all one. And that's, it's like, I was here, it's I am, and there is no end. And that's really what I was experiencing at the time. And I didn't know what to do with it. I just was experiencing it. There was no beginning. There was no end. It was just this one constant fabric of love. Wow. And I was there.
What a beautiful explanation of your experience. That's amazing.
That's why I call it an awakening, because I'm like, my God, what do I do with it? After I woke up, I just sat there dumbfounded, because at the time I was still the skeptical materialist. When all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, there's something different here. There's something real going on. What do I do?
Yeah. And that word awakening just doesn't quite capture exactly your experience as you've just explained it, does it? It's so hard to explain.
Right.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Thank you. And so we talk about sitting with clients and bringing their loved ones through from the spirit world with messages for them of guidance and inspiration. Tell us a little bit then about automatic writing and what that is and how we can communicate with spirit authors.
I think automatic writing is...
people may not have heard of writing or what it is. So,
basically what automatic writing is the ability of it's a medium or person who has some ability to connect with spirit, where the person will be in a mental state where they can... allow spirit to take control of their hand and begin to write as spirit wants. So imagine that the person is almost unconscious or in a state of total reception. And spirit then takes control of that individual's hand, and spirit begins to write using the individual's hand. And they begin to write everything that they want to communicate to others through the human medium's hand. And what's so impressive, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of examples of automatic writing from spirit authors. And there are so many books that have been published, so many incredible books that have come out that are written by spirit authors who go on to describe their experiences in the spirit world in detail. And it depends on what level within the spirit world they may happen to be, how evolved they may happen to be within the spirit world. There are some spirits, for example, who write that they've just arrived, and they describe what it was like to pass over. There are some spirits who write what it was like to evolve from one level to another, or what it requires for them to evolve as they learn their experiences. And there are some spirits who come through and they explain what their purpose is in the spirit world, what they're trying to do. Perhaps they may be trying to assist new spirits when they arrive, or perhaps they may be trying to assist people here in the physical world with their issues, or perhaps they may be trying to help communication between spirit and humans, i.e. mediumship. And every spirit winds up having some mission, there's some job, something that helps them evolve. And the classic example is a spirit guide. The reason everyone has a spirit guide is that a spirit guide, in essence, is really they're trying to help not only the human, but as they have their job, it's helping them evolve. It's helping them grow. It's all through spiritual growth. So it's what's beautiful about automatic writing is that we learn so much about the spirit world, about the structure of the spirit world, about the purpose of every level. And there, the classic example I would use would be the Paget Messages. That's a huge series of volume. I think there are 9 or 10 books that of the Paget Messages, and there are there are hundreds of books out there from automatic writings that are from recent times all the way back to I want to say 1867 with I can't remember the name of it, but there was a book that got it started in the 1860s, a British clergyman. But we've had automatic writings for about 150 years, and it's just absolutely amazing.
My goodness, Chris, with all your knowledge and all your insatiable reading, let us know what you've read about the spirit world. What's it like when we get there?
Oh gosh, it's an incredible experience. Most of the spirits who have written about their experience describe it as very much in the same way that you might read when you pick up a near-death experience book. The spirit sees themselves floating above the physical body. They would see themselves looking down, and they feel this ethereal floating substance, almost like they're in a dream. And that's kind of an issue. Many people can't initially believe that they're dead. They think they're in a dream, and they're looking down on their body, and the body looks like a limp dish rag. And if they're not prone to believing that they're dead, they have a difficult time believing that they've passed on. And that's why quite often we read about spirit helpers coming to help the person who has died, transform them and help them into the light. And that's one of the most important parts of the initial passing, is that we have helpers come to us initially to help spirit people into the light, because it is all about the mental state, the awareness of spirit. The person has to be in that specific mental state to transition up into the light. And it's really up to the individual. You can have spirit helpers try to get them to the light. I'm sure many people have heard of the transition period. And in that transition period, if the person is understanding and they see their family and friends coming to take them into the light, then the spirit person, they have their spirit body moving up into the light. And at that point, they begin to realize at once they've been told that they're with their family and friends, that yes, they are now in the spirit world. They begin to slowly interact with all their loved ones. And again, it goes back to the feeling of love. I think the common theme everybody talks about is this overwhelming feeling of love as they transition over, and that's almost the magnetic attraction. I guess you've probably heard the law of attraction, and that's something that is quite common with all of these. And then as the spirit works their way up, they see that there are different levels. They see that there are different jobs, and it's really an acclimation. They have to acclimate to their surroundings. And some spirits are able to. Again, it goes to the mental state when they transition. Sometimes they have, let's say they might have had a traumatic passing. Quite often a spirit goes to a spirit rest home, our equivalent of rest homes or hospitals, that allows the spirit to rest and to be watched over by those who have a job of tending, loving, caring, very much the way a nurse might in a modern physical hospital. And as the spirit finally gets used to being in that state, they eventually will awaken to their new life. It's again the feeling of overpowering love. That's just the theme over all the spirits, and they constantly talk about how beautiful it is. And I think another big theme is how vibrant everything is. The colors are colors that we haven't even seen in the physical. There's a great movie that Robin Williams was in called What Dreams May Come. And it really depicts quite well how dynamic the colors are, how dynamic the entire world is. There are colors that we don't even realize exist. There are sounds that we haven't heard before. And the common theme that all these spirits discuss is that they feel more alive than they were in the physical, because there are no restrictions. Those who might have been paralyzed before, they can walk, skip, and jump because they no longer have the physical restrictions. Another common theme is that because the spirit body is the true essence of the spirit, there's no ego. The ego is left in the physical. The ego is a part of the physical mind. All we have left as we transition is the loving essence of our consciousness. And that's what transitions up into the spirit world. And so that's where you have the common essence of love. And that's why the common theme that we're always hearing, always reading, always understanding is this beautiful theme of love, which is the fabric of the spirit world. And I think that's really the big takeaway.
Yeah, that is the big takeaway, the love that is there. And I think it's really important that you were saying about those who have a traumatic passing, that they go to a rest home where they're surrounded by love and looked after until they're ready to make that transition in their consciousness. It's beautiful. So tell us also, Chris, about guides. You mentioned having a spirit guide, and that sometimes we're employed, when, gainfully employed when we get to the spirit world, we could become a spirit guide. But you also mentioned higher guides. So are you able to let us know the difference? But is there a difference between a guide and a higher guide?
From what I've been able to read and from what I've understood over the many years of trying to understand this, there are definitely different types of guides. I think the common theme is that there are seven basic guides, which is our inner band. There's our main guide, our lead guide, who is essentially, if you want to think about it, the organizer, the captain, if you will. And that lead guide, main guide is the primary guide who organizes the remaining band of primary guides, whether it's a messenger guide or a philosopher guide or a doctor, etc. Those are the inner bands of guides that help us as we go through our life. The primary concept with guides is that before we came into the physical, we had a spirit contract with our guides. We worked with our advisors and other guides before we became incarnate. We created a soul contract, mapped out an entire plan that was helping us and helping our soul guide us to what we really wanted to achieve when we came down to the earth. Something that really helped our soul, because everyone has a soul, and the reason we come down to earth is to help our soul grow. And if you want to think of it, the earth is like a school. It's the earth school. And every time we come down to the earth, we come for a reason. We come to learn lessons. So every time we incarnate, the concept is to learn a new lesson. It's like you are coming back for a new school year. You're coming back for, let's say you're now in college, or you're now in university, and you're now coming back for your third year of university, and you are now taking an entirely different set of courses, and you're learning all these new different courses and different goals. So that's the whole concept of incarnating again to learn different lessons. And your spirit guides are like your professors. They're trying to guide you to really keep you on your course and trying to help you navigate in such a way that you're going to stay within the bounds of your mission. Spirit guides are not going to and are not allowed to interfere. In fact, spirit is not allowed or they're not able to interfere with us at all, because we have free will. But we'll always feel some kind of nudging. Quite often we will feel that as intuition. We'll feel like in our gut, like we should be doing something. And it's whether or not we listen to our gut instinct, our gut intuition, or not. And that's why everyone says you should be following your gut, follow your intuition. That's your spirit guide elbowing you in the side saying, hey, dummy, wake up. You ought to be doing this. And our spirit guides are trying to keep us, you know, on path. We have the free will to completely ignore it, but we do that at our peril.
Wow. And Chris, I know that you've put all this knowledge into a book that you have written, and that is called Spirits Beside Us, and it's due for release on the 17th of May, I believe. Is that right?
Right.
Sure. And tell us some of the things that people can learn by reading that book.
Well, I'd say some of the primary ideas within that book are really, it helps people understand what spirit is, first of all. Is spirit real? How can spirit be with us? And then we begin to learn what spirit is here to do. And it helps us really learn that spirit is here and never dies, that spirit is continually alive. Because I think many people are so concerned that when a loved one passes, they're not quite sure what happens. And I'd say the main purpose of the book is to allow people to understand that consciousness lives on past the physical life, and that they are constantly with us. And in fact, it's not, they're not up in the sky. They're always with us, and they're always right here by our sides. Because if you want to look at the science behind it, energy is always around us all the time. And in fact, it's just in a different dimension. So even though many people begin to think that, even if I do believe in spirit, there's no way I could even be in contact with them. And in fact, it's not like spirit is off way up in the universe, way up high in the sky. Spirit is right next to us. Spirit is literally sharing our space right beside us. That's why I titled the book Spirits Beside Us, because they are literally beside us, sharing our space. We can reach out and touch them. In fact, I'll give an example. When I was giving a reading to somebody recently, I just relaxed and was sitting back in my chair, and off to my right-hand side, there was an empty chair, and I put my arm out on the side to see if there was, if I could just rest my arm on an empty chair. And no sooner had I done that, but I stretched my right arm out to my side, and all of a sudden I felt like I was putting my arm inside like a this energetic portal. I was putting my arm through spirit. Spirit was sitting literally within arm's length of me. I could feel my right arm full of energy, as if I had put my hand through a spirit person. They were right beside me. Wow. So that's the purpose of the book, is to understand that spirit is with us all the time. Spirit is by our side, and that we don't need to think that spirit has gone away, the spirit's not near us, or that our loved ones are gone forever.
So for those people that are listening at home who have got a desperate need to want to have some sort of feeling of their loved one coming close or have some sort of communication, can you recommend an exercise that they could do at home to just enable them to feel their loved ones close again?
Oh, absolutely. One of the best ways to do that would be just to close their eyes and focus on their breath as they breathe in, focus on the inhalation, and then they focus on the exhalation. And do that for 5-10 minutes to allow themselves to just calm down. Breathe in through the nose, calmly exhale through the mouth. And as they relax, they'll find themselves centering their space. And after they have calmed down to a point where they are so relaxed, they can then focus their attention on the image of a flame on a candle. And as they focus that, that will help them really focus their own mind onto this flame. And as they begin to increase their attention on the flame, it will help them to cancel any image that they might happen to have on what I would refer to as a canvas. So it'll enable them to have a blank canvas. And as they empty their canvas, it will allow spirit to come back onto their own mind. And it creates a blank space, and they'll begin to feel that there's something else there. Because the most important part is removing any conscious feeling of what's there. And as they begin to think about their own loved ones, and they start talking about their own loved ones, they can ask their loved ones to step forward. And because their loved ones are always near them, and always want the best for them, as they begin to think about their loved ones, ask for their loved ones to draw near, they'll start to feel their loved ones energetically, and they'll start to feel that they are drawing closer. And the more that they think about their loved ones in their heart, they should also focus on their heart space, focus on it from a perspective of love, because spirit is always attracted to love. If they constantly think of love in their heart, that is what attracts spirit. So the more you're focused on love and loving thoughts in your heart, it's like a magnet. Spirit will immediately be attracted by your loving thoughts. And as they continue to think about their loved ones with loving thoughts in a blank canvas, they'll start to feel their loved ones draw near. And if they want to talk with their loved ones, they'll be able to feel and hear and understand what's happening with their loved ones of spirit. And more often than not, they will hear, feel, and sense their loved ones. One comment I would make would be, many people would probably hear, feel, understand, or even be able to communicate with them. And I would say that they would be very skeptical, thinking, oh, no, that's just my mind. I'm imagining what I'm hearing. It's not your imagination. When you hear a voice or a feeling in your head, it's not your imagination. It's real. Go with it. You've got to trust what's coming in. You've got to surrender to spirit, because it's always right. So I would just say, follow that and you'll be able to open yourself up. Allow yourself to be completely open. Allow yourself to be vulnerable. And if, when you bring down your shield, perhaps, if you, bring down your walls of skepticism, your walls of, oh no, that can't be real. If you allow yourself to be open and trusting and just surrender to what you're getting, you'll be able to communicate, because everybody's able to communicate. Everybody has the ability to in some way speak and interact with spirit, because we all have psychic abilities. It's innate in our brain. We all have that ability. It's a question of how developed can you be? And you've got to develop it. Just trust and surrender. Open yourself up. Be vulnerable. Come from a position of love, and you'll be able to open up and communicate.
That is a beautiful exercise for people to do. Thank you, Chris, for sharing that with us. I think also for people, they could repeat that exercise over a certain amount of days, because maybe at first they may not feel that they have succeeded. But I think just keep coming back to that quiet place of love that Chris was talking about, and you will hopefully get some beautiful results. So, Chris, where can people find you online? You give readings online?
Yes, I do. My website, if people would like to connect, is www.montclairmedium.com. That's M-O-N as in Nancy, T-C-L-A-I-R, medium, M-E-D-I-U-M. .com, montclairmedium.com, and that's my website, and you can communicate, contact me, just go through the website, and I do readings online. I do all kinds of things. I also help people with different types of meditations, so if they're interested in doing meditations, I do that. Which is especially in this kind of world that we live in, it's very important to calm the mind. And meditation is one of the most important things that we can do to calm our minds, to allow the stress of the everyday life to just slow the pace of the mind, because that's one of the biggest things that will help us to communicate and help us to connect.
Beautiful. So meditations, online readings, everybody goes over to montclairmedium.com. I will have that link in the show notes for this episode. So head over to the show notes on my website and you'll be able to pick up all the links for Chris and anything that he's referred to here, including his book. So Chris, tell us about your book before you go. It's called Spirits Beside Us. It's due for release on the 17th of May. And where can people purchase it?
It will be available on Amazon when it is published. It will be both an ebook as well as a print copy, so they can have either the digital or the print copy version. Oh, there's also going to be an audiobook if some people prefer that as well.
Fantastic, Chris. Well, thank you so much for coming and sharing all of this information. It's going to be a fascinating episode and people are going to learn so much. And thank you again for just sharing everything that you know and everything that you've learned with us today.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure, and wish you all the very, very best with your book launch.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was psychic medium Chris Lippincott, and what a great guy and what a lot of knowledge he holds. I am so glad that Chris was able to find time in his schedule to come along and talk to us and share what he knows. And if you would like to have a psychic or a mediumship reading with Chris, or if you'd like to buy a copy of his book Spirits Beside Us, which is coming out on May 17th, or if you'd like to find out more about some of the things he's mentioned in this podcast, please head over to the show notes for this episode on my website. Go to www.antheato.com, that's A-N-N-T-H-E-A-T-O.com, and you will find a complete transcription of the episode, plus you will find links to Chris and his website and new book. And Chris has even very kindly given us a fabulous link to his personal recommended reading list, which I really want to thank you for, Chris. Thanks for doing that. So do take a look at that, guys, as it contains some really fascinating authors and books on all things paranormal. Is it really the end of this episode already? Time goes by so quickly. I want to say a very big thank you to all of you Psychic Matters listeners, because as ever, I really appreciate you and thank you so much for listening. And please make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the upcoming episodes. So quick sneak preview. In the next episode, I've got another incredible light worker for you. Faye Harrison is coming on the show. This beautiful lady is a healer, a visionary, and a soul worker who talks to us about shamanic mediumship and the importance of the mind-body-spirit connection. Don't miss it. Finally, please know that I am here to help you, so do get in touch if there's anything you feel you need help with. You can head over to my website, anteato.com, or go to the Psychic Matters Podcast group Facebook page. And I have to say a special thank you to a lady called Mari Cartagenova, who has been absolutely instrumental in helping grow our Psychic Matters Facebook group page. Mari is a psychic medium and an animal communicator whom I have also interviewed, and she will be on the show very soon talking about the incredible work she does in the animal kingdom. But I want to say a special thank you to Mari because she really did help grow the Facebook group. I went from a humble 8 members to 240 members overnight. Thanks to Mari. And also thanks to another friend of mine, Sheila Clark, who has also been a wonderful help in growing this Psychic Matters community. And at the time of this recording right now, we have 349 members from all around the globe, and it is thriving. There are some great conversations going on over there about all things psychic. So do jump over and join us. You are more than welcome. If you know of anyone who you think might be interested in the subject matter of this podcast, please do share the podcast with them. And if you could jump on Apple Podcasts and write an honest review for the show, I would be so very grateful, as it really does help the podcast move up the podcast charts. See, a lot of podcasts out there have a whole team behind them. People who write the content, people who design the marketing materials and do all the branding and advertising, and they've got a lot of finance behind them in order to be able to do all of that. So it's easy for them to get to the top of the charts. But here, it's just me and my microphone and no finance whatsoever. So the only way that we can all hope to raise the Psychic Matters podcast to the top of the charts is by each one of you giving a written review on Apple Podcasts and showing great interest in the show by rating it and subscribing to it, because that will be noticed by the podcast algorithms. Gosh, that's hard to say. Try and say that. Podcast algorithms. My goodness. So, you know, we may not have much in the world, but we do have the love for each other. And in the grand scheme of things, in this current world, who needs anything else? Love really does make the world go round. Love and a great passion for the topic that we all love, psychic, really does matter. Have a fantastic couple of weeks, everyone. I hope that everything goes really, really well for you and that you have a fabulous and fantastic time with your families and friends. And until next time, my name is Anne Teato, and thank you for listening to Psychic Matters.